Well, let's bow together in a word of prayer as we begin our time together today. Father, we thank you for this day and the occasion of remembering and giving thanks for the fact that Jesus Christ is risen, that He is alive. Thank you, Father, for the payment He made for us on Calvary's cross. Thank you for accepting that payment in full and in raising Him from the dead according to the Scriptures. Exactly on time. Thank you, Father, for so great salvation that you provide by grace through faith. And thank you for those who have put together the words of the gospel into music and into drama and into ways that help us to express your love and to demonstrate what you have done for mankind. We pray that your Spirit will use every part of the cantata and the drama to minister to each heart, to comfort, to encourage, and to make clear the good news of Jesus Christ. But we love you and we praise you and we thank you for these moments together today as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we present the special drama, I Saw the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus alone could say, Lazarus, arise, and have a dead man walk out of his tomb. Jesus alone could say, peace, be still, and have the winds and the waves obey his voice. But the greatest demonstration of his power was this. 3 days after Jesus died, He came back from the dead, never to die again. You see, Jesus Christ is no mere man. He is God, and He alone is Lord of all. Today, I'd like to tell you a story. A story that took place about this same time last year in the lives of a missionary family, the Nelsons. They were home on furlough, visiting their supporting churches, when their little 6-year-old daughter started running a high fever. After several doses of Tylenol didn't seem to help, little Katie was rushed to the emergency room. The ER doctor was stumped, and Dr. Conrad, the head of pediatrics, was called in. Katie's older brother, Taylor, was eager to give his diagnosis.
I know what's wrong with her, doctor.
I'm sorry, son. I can't talk right now.
But I had the same thing last month in Africa.
You've been in Africa?
Oh, yes, sir. That's where I live.
Has this little girl been in Africa?
Of course. She's my sister, and we're missionaries. And Mom and Dad said I was really sick, too. I almost died.
Well, what did you have?
I don't remember what it was called, but it had a really long, funny name. Mom probably remembers.
Mom did remember, but that didn't solve Katie's problem. The virus was very rare and extremely serious. There was no known cure or treatment. Over the next few days, Dr. Conrad tried several different medicines, but nothing seemed to help. Katie just grew weaker. Mr. and Ms. Nelson took turns being with Katie, but Taylor never left Katie's side. Whenever she was awake, Taylor was there trying to cheer her up.
What are you doing, doctor?
Oh, I'm just checking Katie's pulse.
Does she feel okay?
No, not really.
She is going to be all right, isn't she?
She's got a ways to go yet, son.
Don't worry. She's going to be just fine. I've been praying for her. Have you been praying for her, doctor?
Well, I'd like to, but, you know, I'm really busy.
You're too busy then, because nothing's more important than prayer, especially at a time like this.
Well, I'll just have to remember that.
Please pray hard, doctor. I love Katie almost more than anything in this whole world. She's just got to get better.
Katie was not improving. And Dr. Conrad started her on yet another antibiotic, hoping for some change in her condition. He was trying to find some medicine that would work before it was too late. As he slowly walked out of the room, the doctor found himself doing something he hadn't done in a long time. He silently whispered a prayer for Katie and Taylor. His prayer even surprised himself. You see, right after his wife and son left him several months before, he gave up believing in prayer. In fact, he gave up believing just about anything. As a boy, he'd been taught John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But that was many years ago, before he found out what life was really like. Later that afternoon, Dr. Conrad was surprised when a young visitor found the way into his office.
Come in.
Hi. Are you busy?
Yes, I am, son. I've got a meeting that starts in 5 minutes.
Okay. I won't take long, then.
I've actually really got to be going.
Wow. This is a really nice office.
Well, thank you, Taylor.
Who's that?
Oh, that, that's a picture of my son, Bradley.
He kind of looks like me.
He kind of does, doesn't he? He's probably about the same age you are.
Can I meet him?
No, I'm afraid not. He lives in Chicago with his mother.
Chicago? Why?
That's a really long story, Taylor, and it's kind of hard to explain.
But who plays ball with him and takes him fishing?
Look, son, I've really got to be going, and you really shouldn't be in here.
Okay, but let me just tell you one thing first. You got to try to make Katie bear by Sunday morning.
Why is that?
Because it's Easter, and we always have a sunrise service on Easter morning. You can come, too.
Look, Taylor, I'm doing everything I can, but Katie's a very sick young lady.
I know, but Jesus is going to heal her, just like he healed me.
Well, I really hope he does, son.
I know he's going to. Do you know what today is, Doctor?
Today, Friday.
Not just any Friday, Doctor. It's Good Friday, the day Jesus died on the cross. And if he loves me enough to die for me, I know he loves me enough to answer my prayer.
Dr. Conrad had never had much time for love. He always had more important things on his mind. In fact, he was beginning to doubt that love really existed at all, with God or with anyone else. Everyone he knew was in it for themselves. Oh yes, he did his best to help people with his medicine, but only because it furthered his career and gave him a comfortable living. Suddenly, noticing the time, Dr. Conrad hurried off to his meeting with the hospital administration. For 2 hours, he discussed finances, profit margins, and other important issues. But for some reason, none of it seemed quite so important that day. When his wife left him, she said it was because he was married to the hospital and not to her. And he began to realize she was right. He never did have much time for her or his son. Oh, he never meant to neglect them. It just sort of happened. But now, his life was so empty, so cold and sterile, kind of like an operating room. When Dr. Conrad got back to his office, he found an envelope on his desk addressed to Bradley Conrad. Inside the envelope was a letter painstakingly scrawled in the handwriting of a teenager.
Dear Bradley, hi, my name is Taylor. Maybe we can be friends. I live in Africa. I like to ride bikes and elephants. Your dad is real nice. He's helping Jesus make Katie better. Maybe you can come see me and your dad tomorrow. I'd like that. He'd like it too. I can tell he misses you when he talks about you. His eyes look sad. Well, I don't know what else to say, so goodbye. I love Jesus. I hope you love Jesus too. Taylor.
The simple, childish letter went straight to the doctor's heart. He read over again, "I can tell he misses you when he talks about you. His eyes looked sad." Yes, he did miss his son and his wife too. But before he left the hospital, he stopped by to check on Katie one more time. Her condition seemed to be worsening. After giving her something for the pain, he hurried home to his computer to do some more research. He also called several colleagues to see if they had any advice. Although he got some new ideas, all of the treatments were experimental at the best, and time was running out. After a short and troubled night's sleep, Dr. Conrad was back at the hospital by 8 o'clock Saturday morning. Katie had been in pain all night. Her vital signs were weakening. He again increased the dosages of her medicines, which were already dangerously high. Feeling helpless, he retreated to his office. A couple of minutes later, his young visitor was back.
Come in.
Hi, Doctor.
Hi, Taylor. How are you?
Katie's not doing so well, is she?
I'm afraid not, Taylor. We're doing everything we can. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am too. I guess the disciples must have been pretty sad on Saturday, too.
What?
That's because they didn't know what was going to happen on Sunday.
What are you talking about, Taylor?
Don't you remember? Jesus was in the tomb all day Saturday. And I bet his mom was crying just like my mom is.
You've got quite an imagination, Taylor.
Imagination? Nothing. That's the Bible. And do you know what happened next?
What?
Easter morning came, and all the crying stopped.
Dr. Conrad found himself caring deeply about Taylor. Perhaps it was because he missed his own son. But whatever the reason, he didn't want Taylor to get hurt. They had to be prepared for the worst.
Taylor, sometimes things happen that we don't understand.
You mean like Katie getting sick and everything?
Yes.
Well, I've been thinking about that.
Oh? And what were your thoughts?
I think Katie got sick so I could come here and tell you about Jesus.
Look, Taylor, you've got to quit living in a dream world.
You're not a Christian, are you, Doctor?
Oh, Taylor. Look, when I was your age, I went to Sunday school, too. And I've heard all the same Bible stories you have.
And you asked Jesus to come into your heart, too?
Well, I don't remember.
Doctor, Jesus died on the cross to take away your sins, but he won't do it if you don't ask him to.
You'd make a good preacher.
I'm serious, Doctor. Jesus loves you very much. And I do too. And you need to get saved.
Look, Taylor, I appreciate your concern. I really do. But I think the one I need to worry about saving right now is Katie.
But you're worse off than Katie is, and you don't even know it.
Taylor pulled out a crumpled up gospel tract out of his pocket, threw it on the doctor's desk, and ran out of the room in tears. The doctor's heart was strangely moved by the boy's genuine concern for him. He silently longed for a life that was so simple, where the solution to every problem was the same. Simply trust Jesus. But things just weren't that simple in the real world. Nobody loved anybody enough to die for them, not even God. Suddenly, an urgent message over his intercom grabbed his attention. There was an emergency in room 612, Katie's room. He bolted out of his office and ran up two flights of stairs. Katie had stopped breathing. Everything was in a state of emergency. Buzzers were going off and nurses were scurrying about. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, Katie started breathing again. The emergency passed, but clearly her condition was deteriorating. Dr. Conrad again increased Katie's dosage of medicine. Her fever was still dangerously high, and she was beginning to show signs of some internal bleeding. After advising Katie's parents that a blood transfusion would be necessary, the doctor went to the nurse's station to make the arrangements, and Taylor was right behind him.
Doctor?
What is it now, Taylor?
Does Katie really need some blood?
Yes, she really does.
Well, I want to give her mine.
Oh, no, that won't be necessary. See, we have a blood bank here, and it's very well stocked.
But I already promised the Lord I'd do it. Besides, I have really strong blood. I got over the disease, didn't I?
No, that's right. Perhaps the antibodies would help.
Dr. Conrad hurried back to talk with Taylor's parents. Getting blood from a child donor was highly unusual, but they were running out of options. When the doctor found out that Taylor's blood was a perfect match with Katie's, he met with Taylor and his parents.
Taylor, your parents have given their permission, so I just want to make sure you understand the procedure.
I understand.
Well, do you have any questions?
Well, is it going to hurt?
No, it's actually almost painless. You'll feel kind of a prick in your arm as the needle goes in, but it's going to be over just like that.
Are you sure it's going to help Katie?
I can't promise that, but it's certainly worth a try.
Well, I'm ready then.
It was clear to Dr. Conrad that Taylor, like most children, didn't like needles at all. Taylor soberly followed the doctor to a separate room where two nurses were preparing to take blood from their young donor. Taylor's eyes nervously darted about the room, searching for Mom and Dad, who had stayed behind to watch Katie. Dr. Conrad was as gentle as he could be, but Taylor still whimpered when he felt the needle. The blood was drawn quickly. Then the doctor hurried down the hall where he administered the blood to Katie and then to the waiting room. Time was running out. No one was hungry for supper that Saturday evening. Outside the hospital window, clouds rolled, and signaling a change in the weather, and darkness came swiftly. As a spring storm released its fury, Mom and Dad were kneeling beside Katie's bed, pleading with God to save their little girl's life. Suddenly, a loud crack of thunder shook the room. It was like an exclamation point sent directly from God. They were reminded that when Jesus walked on earth, he came to his disciples in the middle of the storm. Even as the thunder grew louder and the lights flickered, the Nelsons prayed that Jesus would once again come on the wings of a storm. Dr. Conrad spent the night catnapping on the couch in his office so he could check on Katie during the night. He was concerned that she might not make it till daybreak. Taylor and Mr. and Mrs. Nelson continued to pray while the lightning flashed and the thunder roared. As the morning began to dawn, the clouds started clearing. When Dr. Conrad entered the room at 7 a.m., Mom and Dad had fallen asleep in their chairs, but little Taylor was lying right next to Katie with his arms around her. A single ray of sunlight was peeping through the window, illuminating the two children, almost as if God was shining a spotlight on the two lead characters in this heavenly drama. When Dr. Conrad started to put his hand on Katie's forehead, Taylor's eyes popped open.
Doctor, I stayed up all night and prayed for Katie. I didn't even fall asleep, not even for a second.
That's good, Taylor, but I think it's probably time for you to get some rest. How's our patient doing?
I think she's doing better. She doesn't feel near as hot anymore.
You're right, son. Her fever has come down.
I knew she'd get better by today. That's why I've been praying this whole time. Do you know what today is, Doctor?
I sure do, Taylor. It's Resurrection Sunday.
That's right. It's Easter.
By mid-morning, Katie was sitting up in bed and smiling as her family had their sunrise service, a little late, but never more joyful. By the way, Dr. Conrad joined them for their service also. You see, something very unusual happened that night before. On Saturday evening, after Taylor had given blood and Katie had finished the blood transfusion, Dr. Conrad realized he had misplaced Katie's medical chart. So he went back to Taylor's room looking for it. When he opened the door, he saw Taylor lying motionless on the bed with big tears coming down his cheeks. A puzzled nurse was trying to comfort the young boy, explaining that they had already taken his blood.
Taylor, what's wrong?
Is it time yet?
Is it time for what?
Time for it to be over.
Oh, but it is over, Taylor. I've already given Katie your blood.
But you said it would be over, just like that.
What do you mean, son?
When am I going to die?
Suddenly, Dr. Conrad realized what Taylor was thinking. Taylor thought he was giving all of his blood to save his little sister. For almost an hour, he had been lying very still, trying to be brave, just wanting to die. Overcome with emotion, Dr. Conrad gathered up Taylor in his arms and wept as he told him over and over again, "You're going to be fine. We just took a little of your blood. You're going to be fine." Late Saturday night, the doctor slowly made his way back to his office, collapsed on the couch, closed his eyes. But his heart was in turmoil and his thoughts were racing. He couldn't get away from Taylor's willingness to sacrifice his life for someone he loved. The doctor knew that at that very moment, Taylor and his parents were praying for Katie and probably for him too. He walked over to the desk, found the crumpled up tract that Taylor had left him. After soaking in every word of it, he fell to his knees and cried to God to save him. Dr. Conrad, one who had been dead in his sins, trusted Jesus Christ that night to walk in newness of life. He came to Jesus as a little child, confessing a lifetime of sin and of self-righteousness. And Jesus saved him. Well, that was a year ago, and a lot has changed since then. Now Dr. Conrad is back together with his wife and his son, and best of all, they've trusted Christ, too. Isn't it amazing what the love of Jesus can do to change a life? But in order to really believe it, it sure helps to see it. Dr. Conrad had heard the story of God's love before. He just had never seen it lived out in anyone's life. But when he came face to face with a young man named Taylor, who genuinely loved the Lord and also loved others, the doctor saw more than just a boy. Much more. He saw Jesus. The good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth as God's Son to give His life for the likes of a Dr. Conrad, for the likes of you and me. He died on a cross, taking a certificate of debt that we owed. The Scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But God in His love sent Jesus Christ to take that penalty, to pay that debt, to say on a cross, "It's finished." Meaning, stamped, paid in full. And the good news continues that not only did He die for our sin, but that God raised Him from the dead on the third day, exactly the way the Scripture said He would, showing that God accepted the payment in full. God says that any who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ can come to know the benefits of that payment of that debt. Little boy named Taylor had heard that message and trusted Christ as Savior. And he showed the love of Christ to others, and especially to Dr. Conrad, at a very important time in his life. And he trusted Christ, just as anyone could do right now. If you've never trusted Him, you've been caught up in the busy schedule. You've been caught up in the matters of the world. You've been caught up in believing that nobody really cares. But God loves you. He gave His life for you and invites you to trust Him, to believe Him. And those of us who've trusted Him, many who can rejoice in little Taylor and Katie and the others who trusted the Lord and their family, we who have trusted Him know what it is to have eternal life. We know what it is to have the forgiveness of sin. We have a message to proclaim. Striking to remember that on the morning of the resurrection, they were told to come and see and go and tell of the good news of Jesus Christ. He died for you. He died for me. Won't you trust Him? And if you're trusting Him, won't you be that little channel like a little tailor? There are Dr. Conrads in your life who need the Lord, who need to see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just hearing it with words, but seeing it lived out in a life like young Taylor. We have the privilege of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to others. Realizing He is risen. He is risen indeed. And He lives within our hearts. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head with me for a moment. And if there's one here this morning that has never trusted Christ, won't you join Dr. Conrad? You've heard the words of the truth of the good news, that Jesus died for you. He paid the price for you. Will you trust Him? Take Him at His word, realizing that you have a need, the need for eternal life, the need for forgiveness of sin, the need for justification. Jesus paid it all. And He could say, "It is finished, paid in full." Will you trust Him right now? Just talk to Him in the quietness of your own heart, right where you are. "Lord, I need You. I confess my sin and trust You as my personal Savior, believing the promise that You have given, that You save by grace through faith." And for those of us who have done that, whether it's today or years ago, may we commit to showing that love, communicating that good news to others, for the praise and for the glory of God. Thank You, Father, for the message that we've heard this morning. May Your Spirit use the words of Scripture to minister to each heart, to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage, to share the good news, that we might rejoice together in the marvelous truth that He is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.